You're listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 219 of the CD Baby DIY Musician podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show. And today you're going to hear one of my favorite sessions from the 2018 DIY Musician Conference. It's Kristen Ford with her session about how to tour Europe without a booking agent or label. And I think this is a good one. I know lots of people around the world are trying to figure out how they can get into the European market. And even if you're in Europe, I think there will be lots of helpful advice. I will say that Kristen is in the U.S. when she's doing this presentation and speaking from a U.S. perspective, but I think it works no matter where you're at. If you're in Canada, Australia, or Latin America, or Africa, or any place outside of Europe trying to get into that market, I think it's going to provide a lot of useful information. Like I said, even if you're in Europe, I think there'll be some helpful advice as well. Before we get to that presentation, I just want to remind you that right now, it's October 2018, and at CD Baby, we have a super amazing distribution special offer going on right now. It's just $29 to distribute your album worldwide, or you can save $20 off a CD Baby Pro distribution package, which includes all the royalty collection services. You can find out all the details for that at cdbaby.com/promo. It's that time of year. Going into the Christmas season, it's not that far away. You want to get your music out there. You want to get your show.co pre-save campaign up and running and just have everything out there ready to take advantage of the full holiday listening and buying season. So head over to cdbaby.com/promo to get all the information you need. And even if your music's not ready, you can still sign up your title and take advantage of the offer now and distribute later. And lastly, if you've toured in Europe or you have some advice that doesn't get covered in this episode of the podcast, feel free to call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And you can weigh in on anything you'd like. If there's a topic you'd like us to cover on a future episode or you have a question or comment, feel free to email or call in. And with that said, this is Kristen Ford with How to Tour Europe Without a Booking Agent or Label from the 2018 DIY Musician Conference in Nashville. Check it out.
So raise your hand if you've ever been to Europe. Okay, great. So, you know, it's good. We've got a little bit of a primer. How about it? Have you ever played a show over there? Okay, cool. So kind of half and half. Raise your hand if you have your passport. Wow, such go-getters. They've got passports, they're registered for the conference, ready to crush. That's awesome. Well, let's just dive into it then. So touring Europe is awesome. First of all, I think because European audiences are different. They're a little bit less distracted than Americans are. They're not as glued to their phones. There's not TVs in every bar. They don't really work the crazy 60-hour work weeks we do. They take time to go on picnics and go to the theater and really tune in and listen to music. And all that means that they make really good fans. They will actually engage and receive and believe in supporting the arts. Not that Americans don't. We're just busy, and there's a lot of us. And that's another thing about going over there as an American is you can tour Ohio and be from Nashville, and that's cool, but when you are touring Sweden and you're from Ohio, then that's really cool. Now you seem to have some international cred. And America is a very big country. If you've ever tried to drive from coast to coast, it's far. And Europe has a lot of small cities that are close to each other and dense population, and you can go from one culture to another, and it's just very exciting in that way. The other cool thing about Europe is, you know, they say like big in Japan, but you could be big in Europe. You could just tour Germany every year, and that could really be a big part of sustaining your career, even if you're not necessarily a household name here in the States. There's a woman named Sonia Disappear Fear who crushes it every time she goes to Germany. It's like she has a big crowd and they're very engaged, and she's got a couple cool live albums from playing over there. So you just never know who's gonna get you. And then one of my favorite things about my job, which is doing music and traveling, is you get to have real experiences. If you just go to Paris for a fancy vacation, you're going to be staying at all the hotels that all the tourists are staying at. You're going to be doing all the things that normal people do and waiting in lines and whatever, and the locals are going to look at you like you're not that cool. But then if you go to play the grungy club that you have to get in through the back alleyway, and you meet like Igor the sound guy, and you're having like a really cool time, and you wind up meeting up with these traveling Eastern Europeans that are hopping trains, and you share a bottle of wine with them in the loft where you pass out. I mean, like, that's travel for me. It's really fun. And, you know, it's not just swipe it and stay at the Four Seasons or whatever. But, you know, maybe we'll get there if the tour goes very well. All right, so I would recommend 12 months out, which I know that a lot of times in America, I don't know how much of your own booking you've done, but you can get away with 4, 3, even 2 months out booking clubs. But for Europe, I think you should really say, if I want to go to Europe in September next year, I'm going to start right now building a spreadsheet and doing my research. So the first thing is looking at other artists' past tour dates, like that Kristen Ford, where has she toured in Europe? And there's a guy named Austin Miller who tours all over Europe all the time. Look at where he's played. And you look for other indie artists that are doing it and have already done it, and grab the list of the venues where they played, see if they have a website, Facebook, their contact info. And then you'll find you can also build your spreadsheet by looking at venues that host independent artists. It's not gonna do you much good if you write to like Bridgestone Arena of Paris saying, I wanna play here, you're just wasting everyone's time, because you're not gonna sell that many tickets, or maybe they're not interested in hosting international artists, but there are a few kind of like trendy clubs like the Pop-In or White Trash Fast Food, which is actually what it's called, you know, or the Rose and Dove in Galway, that they're always hosting international artists, so those should be on your list. And then you can look at all of the artists that have played the Rose and Dove in the past and that are playing it in the future, and look at their tour dates. And then, as you can see, your spreadsheet is starting to get pretty big of all these venues that you can contact. The other cool thing is you're going on like this stalker mission of looking at Facebook pages and websites, is you may find that a certain label is putting together tours, or a promoter is putting on the tour. This tour I'm gonna do next week, that feels crazy to say, but is put on by a promoter called Songs and Whispers. So they booked the whole thing for me, which was very nice this time around. It was a lot less work for me to do. And just because you're working with a promoter or a label for a one-off event doesn't mean you're not independent. It's just about deciding it yourself. It doesn't always have to be do it yourself, do everything yourself. It can be, I'm gonna figure out the right deal, and maybe it's worth it for me to pay somebody 15% of what I earn to have them line up the shows, or hire them for $200 and we'll see what happens. And make sure you try to interview bands that they've worked with in the past. It's so easy to send somebody an email or a Facebook message and say, like, or Instagram direct message, what was it like working with Songs and Whispers? Was it cool? You know, and then you'll know you're making the right choice when you decide to work with them. The other thing, and it's a really good idea to be working 12 months out, is landing yourself some anchor gigs. Or at least one, where a festival or a community center, somebody who has a budget and a big audience and curates their content, is gonna say, I'm gonna fly you out, and I have a budget of $3,000 to bring you out to do this one show. And then you're like, okay, thanks for getting me to Europe, and now I will continue to tour for 6 weeks, or what have you. And those shows are more competitive, and you know, it can be hard to necessarily land an anchor gig or to be doing the festival circuit, especially if you're independent, but it might be worth reaching out and at least trying. And then getting into the drinking the bottle of wine in the loft with the, like, train hoppers, you want to reach out to your friends and your personal contacts. Anybody you know that's lived over there, anybody who went to school there, just check out Facebook. It's really great if you go to Current City. You can change it to, say, Amsterdam. And then if you have any friends in Amsterdam, it'll tell you that. because you can click over to friends, and if you have any friends in your current city, it'll say, like, click current city, and then there they are. Hey, Tony. That's nice to have some friends here. Anyway, so that's another tool of finding folks who have a personal connection there, and you may just reach out and say, I want to go on tour there next year. Where are some markets I should hit? Do you know of any bands who are touring? Do you know of any cool venues I could play? And go off that personal connection. Maybe they'd host a house show or a garden show, or their father is part of a boule club that you'll go and play and make 800 euros in the middle of nowhere, Germany, which I totally did. It was fun. Who knows what boule is? It's like where you have the balls and you throw them. I don't know. It's kind of like shuffleboard without the shuffles. Anyway, that's why you gotta go to Europe. It's really weird there. You're gonna like it. And the other cool thing to help you out with touring Europe is checking out Bandcamp. Look for artists that have, if you're a folk artist, folk, and then they tag Berlin, because that's where they live. Listen to their music, see if you dig it. You'll have really great eclectic taste, if nothing else, but you could reach out and say, hey, do you wanna do some shows together, or where are you playing? Where do you recommend? You can look at their shows. They might populate on the side of Bandcamp via Songkick that you can reach out. And again, you're adding to your research. So hopefully you'll have way too much information and way too many places to reach out. The other way to find venues is you can go on TripAdvisor and look for live music or heavy metal Paris, you know, and see who is booking the genre of music that you do, what venues are out there, and you're gonna find them. So start getting that spreadsheet built out. It's coming right at me, the ball. So about 9 months out, you should be ready to start actually making booking requests. For the festivals and the anchor gigs, you want to hit them up immediately. Usually the day after the festival ends, they're already planning the next one. So, but 9 months out is a good time to start writing to promoters, venues, labels, other bands. And in your pitch, you should have a couple different sections. One is, who are you? What kind of music do you play? Where are you from? When are you trying to go there? You should give them a clear set of dates. Don't just say, I want to go sometime in 2020 to Italy to play, whatever. You know, you want to give them, these are the dates, and in European style dates, they do the day of the month followed by the month. And the same thing with military time, rather than 7 o'clock, it's like 19 o'clock or whatever. So just trying to be working with them and reach out in the way that they'd like to hear it. So you have a clear idea of when you're coming. And you need to sell yourself in terms of why your act is awesome, why you'll earn the club money, why you are going on tour, which this could be because we have a new record, it could be because we have a music video out, or we're a great band because we have this quote from Pitchfork, or we're a great band because we opened for Cyndi Lauper, or we went to the CD Baby DIY conference and we like hustle, so that's why we're great. You know, so however it is that you build a really strong pitch, you don't want it to be too wordy, you want it to be like 8 sentences max. And leave the door open for them to give you an answer. Don't just say, I wanna come tour there and I'm gonna need 800 euros to play. Like, why would I ever write you back if that's your approach? So leave the door open to be flexible, and if they ask you for something, if they ask you to find local support, go and do it. If they want to see digital marketing materials, send it to them. Make sure that you show you're willing to communicate and you're willing to make it work for them. And then, I love rejection. Anybody else gotten a little bit of that in their career? Just a little? You know, take that rejection and turn it into something valuable. And if they tell you no, ask why. Is the date already booked? Perhaps that artist who's headlining would take you on as an unpaid opener to do a short set. Is the back room booked? Do they have a front room bar where you could play for tips? If that venue is just not appropriate, do they know any other venues that maybe you could play? So there's so many ways to turn that no, or maybe you just wrote to them too early or too late, or you got the wrong guy and you should call her instead of him, and just, you never know why they're saying no, but try to keep the conversation going and see if you can parlay it into something that you want, which is a cool show in Europe. So that is, you know, getting your pitch out there. So how do you do that? So Europe is not Silicon Valley, and there's a lot of cool clubs that barely even answer their phone, let alone work really on marketing for their website or are all about responding to Facebook messages. So you should get a Skype number so you can make international calls, put some credit on there, and notice the time change, start hitting up venues during their business hours and asking what you can set up. And if they have a website and they say, if you want to book, this is how you should reach out, make sure you follow it to a T, because it just shows professionalism and it shows that you've taken the time to work with them in the way that they want to be approached, rather than just you're blasting people like copy paste, copy paste. You want to say, I understand what your club is doing, I understand what you're offering, I want to come and you're going to love me, I'm going to make you money, we're going to work together, this is going to be great, come on baby, give me a call. You know, so you want to work with them in a way that they can deal with it. And it seems like a lot of people have left the country, so you'll probably understand how American customer service is not everywhere. In America, the customer is always right. It's, we're going to be nice, we're going to smile, we're going to talk about you behind your back, but we're going to be like really doing our best to make sure that nobody's feelings get hurt. And depending on the culture, sometimes people can seem really curt, cold, not interested in working with you. So just be nice and just remember, you know, you're dealing with somebody else's culture and you're down to learn and make friends and it's all good. And if you are doing a lot of confirming things on the phone, you want to make sure that you get their email or some way that you can actually get the things that you talked about in writing so that you're not talking about different months or you got the wrong venue or, you know, all the things that could go wrong when it's not crystal clear. And also, Lady Gaga and Beyonce were a thing, and I like that very much. So Google Translate is pretty awesome. It'll help you surf websites that you can't read, and all of a sudden you can read them. And I recommend you get your booking pitch in English, copy-paste it into Google Translate, and then if you can take this next step and find someone who actually is fluent in the language or like very good level in it, to go through the Google Translate and clean it up a little bit, it's gonna sound much better because, again, you're trying to approach the venue and say, I'm gonna make you money, I know how to do this, it's gonna be great. And if it's hard to read it, it reads like a Craigslist scam, if you ever got one of those, like, it's just not gonna be as great. And in terms of finding someone who can speak a language, you can just post on Facebook, hey, does anybody speak Spanish? And you probably find someone who's willing to help. Or you can contact a local college. Maybe they have a high-level language student who, for $20 and some pizza, would give you a couple hours of either working on your email or making some of those calls for you. And then if you're going to do it yourself, which I have done, you say, hallo, sprechen Sie Englisch? Danke. You know, and then they get it. Okay, this person clearly has a terrible German accent. We're now going to need to switch over to English. And they will, you know, hola, ¿cómo estás usted? ¿Hablas inglés? See, it's just that easy, folks. You know, you can learn a little bit and take yourself on the journey of multicultural self-discovery. I would say that if you're contacting, like, Scandinavia, the Netherlands, obviously, England, Ireland, they're very good English-speaking people there. And other places like France and Italy and Poland and Czechoslovakia, you just want to be trying to work with them to say, you don't have to know everything, and I respect your culture, let's figure this out. So there are different levels of tours, and my experience has been pretty DIY, like, let's fly under the radar, let's just make this happen. That said, I'm not an attorney, I do not represent the IRS, I'm not gonna go to bat for you, like, if something goes down, but for the most part, as a tourist, with a tourist holiday visa, with just a regular passport, you can get yourself over there and play shows and make money, and it's not going to be a problem. I have a friend who just went on tour with Cindy Wilson of the B-52s, and they were dealing with bigger venues and a lot of money, and they all had proper work visas to get over there. And there's a lot of websites where you can look into getting the right kind of like work permits and the things of that nature that you can feel totally, totally not worried about anything legally going wrong. But for the most part, I know a lot of acoustic artists and artists who are indie that are setting up their own shows, they're going to play, and it's no problem. You just go as a tourist and you can bring home up to $10,000 in cash. So if you're making that kind of cheddar, like, good stuff, don't even worry about it. But you want to make sure your passport's up to date, your driver's license is good, and that you have insurance on to drive a car. Also, I recommend Music Pro Insurance. They're a great, great investment. It's like $150 a year, and they'll cover your computer and all of your gear, and if it's broken, stolen, anything happens to it anywhere in the world, they'll replace it for you. So that's definitely worth having some insurance before they go and smash your guitar on the flight. I am putting a guitar under a plane like next week, so we'll see. But the other thing to do is to pack light. If you show up with an 8-piece band and a double bass and everything, they're definitely going to know, okay, a band is coming here, what is going on? But if you're just a tourist who has like a couple pedals and a guitar, maybe a few promotional items or gifts for friends that are your merch, you're good. You're not going to ruffle any feathers. They're just going to send you right through, have a good time, stamp, enjoy. A lot of the venues will backline, so if you're a drummer, maybe all you need to do is bring like sticks and cymbals and they'll have the kit for you. Or there are backline and rental companies all throughout Europe that the last time I went there, which we'll kind of get into in a minute, why I didn't bring my own guitar, I just rented acoustic guitars along my tour, which was a little nerve-wracking because I was wondering what I was going to get, but it worked out, you know. And then the other thing, going back to your personal connection, your Bandcamp friends, maybe you can borrow a band's equipment from Berlin, and then they're going to come here to Nashville, and they can borrow your stuff. And what good friends! You can really start a deep connection and work it out. So beg, borrow, buy, steal, figure, no, don't steal, but, you know, figure out how to get over there with the minimal amount of equipment that kind of makes you stand out, and it's also going to be just a huge pain in the ass to fly with, and, you know, you got to have a double PhD to figure out what you can check and what you can't these days with flights. And then in terms of merchandise, you can ship ahead, I believe, like 200 copies of CDs for promotional that you can either find, like, an international shipping store to hold it, or if there's a really nice venue or a friend over there that you have their address, you can ship it to them there. Or you can have it made. Like, I'm working with a screen printer in Bremen, Germany, and I'm just gonna PayPal them money, and I'm gonna show up, and they're gonna have t-shirts for my tour there waiting for me. So they have all that stuff over there, you know? You don't have to necessarily just rack your brain about how you're gonna take everything from here and make it happen over there. This guy looks so grumpy. So I racked up an intense amount of phone bills on my last tour to Ireland because I didn't really realize, like, I couldn't be on Instagram, and like Google Maps uses a lot of data. I had no idea, and it was incredibly expensive. So get an international phone plan and don't use your phone. It's a good time to just unplug, enjoy other cultures, and get yourself a Garmin or a standalone GPS either over there that has the European maps, or you can pay, I think, $100 to get the maps. So it's just easy to blow a lot of money on cell phone data, and it's, yeah, I have a bad relationship with Verizon. You are only gonna accept cash. It's possible to use PayPal for international purchases, but European audiences are super comfortable, again, like the patrons of the arts, the slower way of life. I'll go to the market and I'll just buy bread here, and then I'll go over here and I'll just buy like tomatoes, and that's how it is over there. So they're gonna have cash to buy your merch and to tip you at your shows, and just make sure as you're negotiating with the venues that you say, I don't want to be paid in checks, I want to be paid in cash. Get yourself some euros, they're so colorful. Another thing I love about being a musician is all the free shit I love it. You can get free food, free drinks, free place to stay, make sure parking's included. Just try to think about all of the needs that you might have traveling, laundry, Wi-Fi, and find out how willing they are to work with you to help you out and get those things for free. And if you know something free is coming, then try to keep the money in your pocket, you know? Live frugal. You're a musician. You're rich with art and freedom, and not always necessarily all of the money. Okay, so everyone likes this. There's a line outside the door to get to your gig. Yes. So promoting your show in Europe in some ways is a lot easier because you are such a limited commodity over there. You're just going to be in Prague for one night, and oh my gosh, you're from all the way across the ocean, and this is so exciting. So you got to do your homework. Hopefully the tour is now booked 6 months out, and four months out, you can start hitting up newspapers, blogs, radio stations, seeing if you can get an on-air performance before your show, writing to blogs and trying to get an interview. You can, again, use Google Translate or your new college friend that speaks really good Czech to help you with the promotional aspects. And you may want to hire a European PR company who could actually get into it and get you on the radio or get you into shows. And some of those promoters will probably have strategic partners where, again, you can do it all yourself, but you maybe don't have to. Maybe you can hire somebody and help lighten the load a little bit. Another great way to promote your show is you can go busking ahead of the gig and make some money. You might even make better money just busking on a busy street corner than you will at your show if it's not really greatly attended. And if you're staying at an Airbnb or a hostel or a couch surfer, which we'll get into lodging next, but those are all people that you're meeting that you're able to invite them to your gig. And make sure that those personal connections you have are telling everybody that you're here, it's so exciting, you're just there for one night, this is a big deal. And let your egos get inflated a little bit. You're an international touring artist, damn it. This show is gonna be super epic. Everyone needs to be there. I can't believe it's only 10 euros to get in. You know, and kind of that excitement will carry. And hopefully if you're playing at the right kind of venues, they're gonna have a little bit of a built-in crowd already where you don't have to stress as much as you do here where the venues are just kind of counting on you to bring in the business a lot of times. You can just go over to Europe and say, all right, I'm playing in the coolest part of town at this cool little club. People like music there. They carefully screen the acts that they booked. They decided to book me. And then everything worked out great. I kind of want to get into a battle with those guys and lose. Hopefully I can track them down later. But anyway, so yeah, promote your show, yada yada, all that good stuff. So getting around, just the logistics of getting around Europe is a little bit crazy. So there's some, like they call them puddle jumper flights or inter-Europe flights where you can fly from London to Berlin for like $25 one way, which is nuts, but you can't bring a single bag with you. So good luck if you've got a whole band and all your merch and all your clothes. And that is where possibly if you're renting equipment, then you can rent what you need for the UK dates, rent a car, drive around, do the UK, and then return the stuff to the backline rental company, fly to Germany, then you get yourself a new rental car or a rail pass, rent what you need and go. But perhaps you have a whole band, so you need to get a sprinter that holds everyone and all the gear, and you'll just drive around where you need to be. Gas is about twice as expensive, if not more so, over there. And some of the cities, you show up and you just are like, you know, if you've been to Europe, you're like, I'm not driving in here. This is crazy. This is literally ancient. There's castles and cobblestones, and I can't read the parking signs. So there's a lot of extra headache in terms of if you're going to drive everywhere. Sometimes it makes sense to park outside of town and then to take the rail pass. It's kind of startling how amazing the public transit is in Europe. It's efficient and clean and runs all night and gets you where you need to go. It's just pretty wild. Socialism, peace. Capo 2020. So, and make sure that you're leaving tons of extra time to get lost. You probably will get lost. You probably won't understand what's going on, and you just, nothing's worse than being late for a gig and not having any cell service and just being confused. So leave extra time, look into your different options in terms of there's a student rail pass, there's a happy weekender ticket where you can go the slow rate, not like the fast train, and it saves you money. There's a lot of stuff where you can just go down rabbit holes on the internet trying to figure out, okay, what is actually the best way? But ultimately, you know, they got cars, they got planes, they got trains, and in a pinch, you actually, I would kind of recommend hitchhiking if it's something like you just have to get from an airport to the city center and it's just one leg. It's a lot safer there. They're a lot nicer about hooking you up, and you might make a friend that then you can take to the show later. All right, so lodging. You are not on your honeymoon. You are on tour. So, like, just deal with it. When I played in Ireland, it was really magical. At the back of almost every bar, there was, like, a winding staircase up four flights of stairs, and then there's this little ancient room where you could just stay, and sometimes an Irish granny would make you breakfast in the morning, and it was just pretty cool, you know? So the venue may have something for you, they can hook you up, or if you're asking them for lodging, maybe they'll say, well, the bartender has an extra room and he doesn't mind if you stay, and so, okay, cool, make a friend. Couchsurfer, is everybody familiar with Couchsurfer? Sweet. Well, it's definitely good if you are planning, again, like a year out. Why don't you sign up for the site now and start hosting some people so that you have rapport on the site and you make some European friends, and then when you're going with your hand out, you've already kind of karmically paid it forward. And there are some super nice hostels. There's some really scummy ones too, but hostels can be great because you have a kitchen and Wi-Fi and laundry and all of the things you may need. Airbnb is a good option, and then bookings.com is, again, for international hotels, hostels, whatnot. It's a good option. I would say put hotels like lowest on your list because they're going to give you the least amount of extra amenities and be the most expensive option, rather than maybe if you're a whole band going on tour, you could Airbnb a house and like make a cool little live from our weird Airbnb in the English countryside record, and you know, it could be a magical experience. So, anybody been out to eat in Europe? How about with like somewhere to go as soon as you're done? It's a different experience eating over there. Like, people don't go to turntables and like bam, bam, bam. They go to sit and chill and relax and chat. And so if you do need to get somewhere right after you're going out to eat, I don't recommend that. You want to be in the relaxed, chill state of mind. And going to the grocery stores whenever possible is great. They got the bread and the cheese and the wine, and it's unbelievable the quality of the food. You can have yourself a picnic and save a lot of money. And also in country to country, but like in Germany, you can drink on the streets, and you go to a little bodega, they'll open up the beer for you, and it's great. It's going to save a lot of money versus going out to bars all the time. And if you are going out to eat, it's not a 20% tip thing. It's more like pennies on the dollar or just a little bit for really great service. Or you can read the Lonely Planet about the latest tipping craze. But, you know, you can save your money a little bit over there. It's expensive in Europe. So wherever you can see, okay, lodging, transport, food, drink, like how do you cut costs so that you can actually hopefully have a profitable European tour? So finally, the fun part, we're at the show, yes! You want to get there super early if you can and figure out what you need to set up. They had mentioned stuff with outlets might be a little weird. You want to make sure you have your adapters. If you are traveling with a certain microphone, make sure you bring the mic clip that you need. It might be different. And try to have backup of strings and batteries and things that will be hard to find at the show. But, you know, be at the show, set up professional early, be nice to whoever you're working with, and then play your heart out, be great, be flexible with the audience. Some cultures are really like uptight, but then in between your songs, the applause is crazy, and then others are very rowdy, and I had the best time ever in Barcelona, but I was almost like, are you listening to me? You guys are crazy. And I was once going on one of my very entertaining banters between songs of my folk music, and I was in Eastern Berlin, and this guy just shouts, "We can't understand you." I was like, okay, next song, here we go. So So that's just important to remember. Maybe you want to learn a few words in whatever native tongue you are to kind of connect with the audience, but definitely keep the focus on music because they may not understand what you're saying. And make tipping really obvious. Tipping's not as big a part of the culture in Europe as it is in America, and you want to make sure that if it's a pass the hat gig and that's how you're being paid, you just make that clear, because then when it comes back to, oh, we love to support the arts, then they're going to make sure that you're compensated. And display your merchandise, make sure you are there. The second you finish playing your show, you should go over to your merch. Don't talk to your friends, don't like go to the bathroom, be at the merch table, be signing autographs, be selling, be ready to go, and make that a real priority. Something that sells really well in Europe that I was kind of surprised are download codes, which are great because you can pack super light and bring them with you, or you could have them printed over there. But they totally get it. They're like, I don't have any cell phone data because it's expensive, but I'll take this download code and I'll go home and I will definitely download your album at that point. And I use CD Baby makes great cards, as well as they're like with disc makers. I think they're one or something. And Bandcamp is another service that they'll hook you up with little download codes that you can sell yourself. So as you're packing out of the venue, do a really, really thorough idiot check, because it's going to be hard to ever see that stuff again if you make a mistake. And just make sure that you're connecting with the people who hosted you, the promoters, the venue, and lots of thanks and good times. Or maybe you'll stay up all night like chatting with the bartender about whether or not Trump will get elected. Like, whatever happens. So we live, as they were just saying in the Spotify lecture, we live in a global world. So if you are making fans in Europe, make sure that they connect with you on the web where it's going to count, where they're going to follow your socials, they're going to stream you, they're going to be in touch with you for your bigger and better and even more badass tour. And there's different ways you can have them get involved, where you're giving away merch or you're just harping on the mailing list. Speaking of, I have a book coming out, and my friend Jen has a little sign up here if y'all are interested. I will be sending out show notes from today, as well as I've got a podcast and a DIY touring book coming out, so it's going to be all good. So yeah, you just want to connect with your international audience, and that's something that also you can leverage that when you're trying to, you know, book the Mercy Lounge, to be like, just so you know, like, I have streams from Europe coming in like crazy, and I'm an internationally revered artist, so you should book me in my backyard, you know? After the tour, you want to make sure that you are staying on people's minds. How long should I leave this slide up, like, the whole time? Okay. So something that you can do is you can buy international stamps. They're like $1 a piece, and you can send postcards or letters of thanks to venues, promoters, homestays, anything like that, to just say, like, thanks so much for hooking it up. This was a great experience, and that'll keep you in their mind for the next time. It's something I will occasionally do for U.S. tours as well, or anyone I crash with on the road, I'll send them, like, the ugliest postcard they sell at the pilot travel stop, to be like, thanks, greetings from Indiana, call, you know, it'll be like a bird on there or whatever, but so you send out a thank you when you get back. And for those people who have engaged, either they've recently followed or liked or signed your mailing list, send out a special. Say, hey, for all of my new Swedish fans, like, here's 20% off my latest record. And it's the digital version, because I'm not going to ship one over there. But yeah, you know, something digital that's online that you can offer them an incentive for being in touch with you, go for that. Make sure you keep really good accounting of all the money you're making in and out during the tour, because it can be easy to think, I had a really fun time, and forget that actually the gig where you weren't having a good time, you made triple the money. So taking notes as you tour and then going home and being able to reflect and look at what worked, what didn't. We had this one show in Denmark, but it cost us $600 to drive there and get the hotel, and so it didn't really pan out. We should have just stayed in the Netherlands where we were. And, you know, once you have the ideas of what worked well and what didn't, you can just kind of think, keep that in mind for the next tour. And now I will say, who's got any questions? Yeah, and I also just have crazy stories, too, if we need to stretch it out. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Tom. Good
Hi.
Job, Kristen.
Oh,
Good
thanks.
Job. I have a few questions, real quick. Are you alone on tour, or do you tour with a band?
I've only done solo tours, but I have toured with a few friends
and
traveling with me.
How long are your shows? Are they like an hour or how many sets?
I would say it's an average 30 to 60 minute show. It's not as much the 3 hour bar gig you might see in the States.
I can't remember the third question I had for you. Let me think about it.
What's your favorite color?
I guess I'm wearing.
All right, nice. Good stuff. Okay.
Yeah, could you just repeat the insurance service that you use?
Yeah, it's called Music Pro Insurance.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, and it's helped me out more than once, so good times.
Hello, my name is Miguel. I manage 5 bands right now, and we're planning our tour for next November.
Sweet.
And they're a metal band, but I also have a solo act performing EDM. So I was just wondering how those audiences, how well do they respond to like mixed shows, or should you keep them separate?
I think some of that depends on like the city,
mm-hmm.
And maybe the venue, because some venue is not gonna do anything except electronic music for the EDM artists, and metal can kind of be like a separatist thing too.
Mm-hmm.
So that may just be something where your two artists will be in the same city the same night, but they'll be playing different venues. Or you can just sell it as a package, and it seems like that would be easier to promote, and you're trying to get the same shows out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. In my experience, it seems like there's every style of music out there, and if anything, folks are more open-minded to receive something new, kind of like less judgmentally.
Okay.
But that sounds ambitious. I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Yes, thank you.
Sure. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Joe, and my favorite color is clear, by the way.
Clear?
Yes.
Wow.
It is a color. My question is, do you find overseas that clubs and venues want you to do more covers? Like in the States, I mean, it's almost hard to get into a club if you do mostly original music. I didn't know if you had that same experience overseas or...
Oh, that's a great question. I've actually found the opposite to be true. And they have very strict accounting in terms of their performance royalties, where many venues will ask for your set list ahead of time and where it's registered if you're with BMI, ASCAP, CSAC, or you know whichever one for whichever country you're from. And they'll want to know that after your gig if you haven't sent it ahead of time. And you can play some covers, but I think for the most part, if you're saying I'm a soul act from Memphis that's gonna tour Europe, they don't wanna hear you cover Bruno Mars. They wanna hear your music.
You know? Thank you.
Yeah.
I had a question about the rentals that
yeah.
you do. So I'm playing my first ever show in Rome next week.
Sweet.
And I
That's great.
Thank you. I thought that because I can rent a guitar for like $50 for a month in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But I emailed like 10 music stores in Rome, and they're all like, oh no, we don't do that. We don't rent. So now I'm kind of like freaking out. And I was wondering like what your process with renting equipment was.
Yeah, well, I, in a past life, worked at Guitar Center, and I didn't realize how common returns were. But there is possibly the slightly shady practice of buying an inexpensive guitar over there, doing your gig, and having second thoughts about purchasing it. If it comes down to that, or rather than contacting like a straight up music store, try reaching out to a backline rental company. Or is it like a traditional venue that you're playing?
Yeah, I'm a guitar player. They had keyboards and microphones, but they didn't have a guitar.
Okay, but you could maybe look at some of the other artists that are playing there and just say, hey, can you do me a solid and I'll bring you like some Tennessee whiskey? Like, can I borrow your guitar?
Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Emerald, and my favorite color is actually red.
Yeah, cool.
But you talked a lot about lodging and places you would stay, hostels, couches. Have you ever had any safety issues?
Yeah, I mean,
that?
I recommend the buddy system. If you're touring all by yourself or traveling all by yourself, it might be like you want to have more thoroughly vetted. Also kind of just using your spidey sense and making sure that you're not getting too drunk or to the point where you wouldn't be in control of knowing kind of what people are doing. And I feel like you can read a lot into people when you meet them. And if you're getting a weird vibe, you can be like, this just isn't probably going to work out for me. But I guess I kind of have the like woo-woo mentality of just try to like have peace and loving and good vibes out everywhere, and hopefully that will come back to you and you'll meet some new friends and whatnot. But it is definitely important to feel like you're safe, and it's possible if you have a rental car that you can pop the seats back, you could just figure out some other option if this staying with a random gets weird.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Hello.
Hi.
My name's Ian. My favorite color is black. Real simple.
Yeah.
So I have a question about like playing a show, in a country where they don't, you don't speak their language. What's been your experience communicating with like the sound person, like a behind the board? What's that been like?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times if you're asking for something at mid-show, I won't even like to interrupt the magic of the gig. I'll just be like, whatever.
Right.
So, but I think for the most part, it's amazing how much you can communicate with body language and everybody just trying.
Yeah.
And you can send a stage plot and your input list ahead of time and run all that through Google Translate.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even if you have mixed notes, if you're like, we want it to sound like this band or whatnot.
Sure.
The more info you can send to the venue, then they know that you're that much more professional, and they might even look at it. They might not, but hopefully will work out.
Right on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Kristen. I'm Tim.
Hey.
Hey. So a couple of questions. One, what's your favorite place to tour in Europe?
I want to say like places I haven't even been to yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So
okay.
We'll
so
see.
I guess what I'm saying, like, what's like, I don't know, like the funnest, most comfortable.
Yeah. Well, I do think that like the UK and Ireland are great spots because they're English speaking already. They're going to get what you're doing. It's a fairly wealthy country. People are into it. Where maybe in Italy, I mean, he got a gig in Rome, but maybe they're not as into going out to shows all the time as they are in Ireland. And I do know that Germany is nuts about Americana, and in Poland they're like obsessed with cowboys and the Wild West. So there's a lot of like just I'm an American, I play American music that can kind of carry you pretty far. But I would say it's really anything goes, and why not just have an open mind until you go and see what it's like.
Perfect. And how many days a week and how many weeks do you usually go for?
I think it depends on how long you can afford to go out there and how it starts to come together. Like in your research phase, hopefully you can come up with a routing where you say, I think I can take 3 weeks. I mean, the plane ticket over there is probably going to be your biggest expense.
Yeah.
So the longer you can stay once you're there, I guess that makes sense. And if you're not able to book a ton of shows, it just becomes kind of like vacation versus shows. But I would say if you're going for under a month, try to play every day.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Kristen. I'm Brock. And I have a two-part question, but they both correlate. When you go tour, do you tour by yourself or do you play with other musicians?
I sometimes will play with like bands here, but I've only done the solo thing. I do a one-woman looping band. So that's been my way of doing it,
And as far as cost goes, like if you were to be touring with a band from here, how much can you say that generally costs, and what things cost the most, and are there any unforeseen costs that come into that people don't normally think about?
I think that getting your gear around is the most brutal. Like, just I knew I was going to check my looping pedal, some merch, and a guitar on this upcoming tour I'm doing. And just that really narrowed my airline choice. The cost of either carrying on or checking a guitar altered the flight from as much as $0 to, I shit you not, $1,600 for just carrying one thing on. And then if you're doing those little puddle jumper flights, they will charge you 50 euros for this extra bag and 100 euros for this bag. And so depending on how much equipment you have, that could make it really expensive. And I guess so much of that would just depend on how big your band is, what kind of instruments you're playing, how much do you like to share space? Are you going to need to get multiple rooms? There's just a lot of variables. But I would, again, go with the finding bands that are similar size and genre to you and that have already toured Europe, see where they're touring, write to them, offer to buy them a drink, and just pick their brains about it.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Kristen. I'm Susan. My favorite color is purple.
Nice.
Which I'm not wearing today, but... So my question is, say you don't actually have an international following at this point in time, but you want to go over, maybe you've got an opportunity in the UK, Ireland, as you mentioned, or somewhere else in Europe. And what is your baseline, if there is such a thing, concerning small to moderate clubs, the kind you'd play if you don't bring in a ton of people or you don't expect to, what is the pay that you look for? And is there a typical scenario? Do they do a portion of the door plus a sort of a baseline? Or does it vary all over the map? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I have been a full-time musician since 2014, and I don't think I've ever sold more than 150 tickets, ever. Like, I mean, cumulatively more than that. I've sold hundreds of records, hundreds. But... I don't think you have to really have a following. Like, you can go and just say, I'm going to work really hard to promote the show, I'm going to go and play. And in terms of how the payment works, that's something where if you don't think you can make a room fee, meaning they're going to say it's 150 euros for sound and door before we pay the artist, then you say, why don't we do a no cover show and you could pay me a percentage of the bar ring. But I would say it's as varied as it is in the US, where there's not just one way that clubs pay you. There's so many different ways. And oftentimes, I think when setting up the gig, it's been, they offer you a set guarantee, where they understand you're coming from afar and they'll say, we can give you a place to stay, food and drinks, and 300 euros for the night. Maybe more, and then you sell merch on top of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Awesome. So you just mentioned merch. Hi, Kristen. My name's Catherine. My favorite color is also purple, but I'm going to say periwinkle.
Whoa. All
right. So my question does have to do with merch. You mentioned somewhere in the slides about, in terms of bringing merch as promotional.
Yes.
Quotes. So yeah. My question, if this is kind of one of the Guitar Center tools of the trade where you're returning, are we saying promotional, but we're not, like, we're able to sell it once we get there, and we're just saying that it's promotional on the way, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Where you could either take a hole puncher to the barcodes or strike it out with a Sharpie and, you know, or just put it in a box labeled promotional. And if they ask you about it, you say, literally, these are just giveaways for radio. I'm just here doing outreach and visiting friends, I'm on holiday, so I just brought these promotional items, or gifts for friends. Okay. You know, I'm going to visit friends in these. And if you're bringing over 2,000 discs, that kind of, I would recommend just shipping that at that point.
Okay.
But if you're just checking a few CDs that you think you'll need for the amount of tour you have, then I would say it's all good. And the other thing about shipping stuff over there is you should leave a ton of extra time in case it gets tied up in customs.
And cash only for merch.
Yeah. You can accept PayPal, but I've found that Europeans are not as big on swiping credit cards. They're not as glued to their phones. They're just kind of like chilling, and they have cash.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm Annie, and my favorite color has been blue for a long time, but could be switching to purple.
I'm not
positive. I have a question about the Skyping. Do you use that when you're pitching yourself, or is that Google Translate? Are you writing to these people or are you Skyping to
pitch? Oh, that's a good distinction. Like, I think I actually wrote this down, but maybe didn't say it, is when you're pitching to venues, if they're not clear about how they want to be contacted, you want to send them an email, you want to send them a Facebook message, send them an Instagram direct message, use a contact form, and then also pick up the phone and call and say, hi, I wanted to book this. What's the best way to get in touch? Oh, is it talking on the phone? Here we are talking on the phone. Great. Hi. Bye. Love you. Book me. Mean it. Bye. Cheers. You know? So it's, you could use it for some of the research phase, but definitely for the booking. And if you sent an email, I would just assume no one's going to read it. And you following up with a phone call is speaks volumes.
And when you say phone call, you mean a Skype call? Or
I do, yeah. Unless you set up like free international or international calling on your cell phone, you could check with your cell phone provider. But again, me and Verizon are like, nah, I think like $10 in Skype credit and you can probably book the whole tour.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much for your presentation. It's really awesome. So I'm Sophia, and I'm a young teen singer, and I'm actually just about to go on like a back-to-school tour for my first album and everything. It's exciting. And I'm wondering about going in Europe. We're going to hopefully go for like a back-to-school thing too, but what are other venues for fellow, you know, minors and youth that you would suggest?
Yeah, well, I think you just definitely want to go the possibly more non-conventional venue route, where you're going to reach out to cultural centers or schools, churches, things of that nature. But also, you know, Europe's like a lot more lax about kids start drinking wine over dinner, you know, when they're young. And you might want to check in with your parents about whatever. I'm not trying to give you bad advice, but
that sounds interesting.
Yeah, just let them know that you're, you know, under... Are you under 18?
Of course, yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, always good to ask. Yeah, just let them know that you're a minor when you're reaching out.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. I don't know, I got like down to the zero and it's flashing this red light, which makes me feel uncomfortable. So we got one more question. Congratulations, you're the last question. And just before he goes, I'm not sure where that list is, but make sure you all sign up, and I have these cool stickers I would love to get you, and I'd like to take as many selfies as we can when we're done. So cool, what's
up? So when's the book come out?
It should be out very late this year.
All right, that's what's up. So I'm Jenny J. I'm a grungy blues songwriter, and I had a guitar stolen out of my car after a gig one time. And
bummer.
My insurance company was like, we're only going to cover $250 worth of the guitar because, you know, you were working with it. So there was like a cap. So I was curious about like the insurance company. Is there like a cap or anything like that?
Nope. It's literally like the replacement value.
That's tight, because that's not what I have. And also, like, so when you're on tour out there and you don't, like, necessarily have a draw because you're not local, like, is, you know, that a discouraging factor? Or you're just literally, like, out on the streets, like, come to my show with, like, handbills?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Handbills are a great way to connect with people if you have extra time. Again, like, busking, being like, I have a show later. Right. Meet the friends at the pub next door.
But you
like,
get a good turnout, though.
Yeah.
All right, tight.
And also, I'd say with every tour, there's going to be some shows that are magic, and there's going to be some shows that totally suck, and there's going to be some in between. So it's about the journey.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Thanks all so much, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. A big thank you to Kristen for coming out to the DIY Musician Conference and sharing all that valuable information. We really appreciate it. If you've got some advice about touring in Europe and have something you want to share or a question, feel free to call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. You can ask any type of question you want. Feel free. I try to answer all of them, even the questions that don't make it on the podcast. I try to get back to everyone as quickly as I can. So feel free to contact us that way. Also, don't forget to check out cdbaby.com/promo. Get your albums out there. It's time. Get in on the special deal. That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. We'll catch you later. Bye. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.